Welcome to Shine.fm's A Closer Look podcast, going a little deeper into the hearts and lives of the artists you hear on Shine.fm.
Cool. You look
sorry,
so
it's really cold. Yeah, it's really cold in my house right now. And I just drank a frozen smoothie, so I'm like absolutely frozen. I just put on like 3 jackets.
I mean, you just moved, right?
Yeah, we do. And it's a lot warmer here than it was in Michigan, but I'm like, man, as soon as it gets in the 40s, I'm freezing my butt off. So it's, you know, it's a 3 hoodie kind of day.
Yeah, gotcha. So tell me about the move. Are you unpacked? Boxes all done?
Yeah, we are. So basically, I did a really bad job at keeping everyone apprised of what was going on in my life. So we've been here for like 4 months.
Oh.
But, you know, people, they're always asking, because everyone thinks I live in a different place. Everyone's like, oh, you must live in California, you know, because you're related to Bethel Music, right? And then some people know that we were in Michigan for the last 5 years at a church there. So they're like, oh, you know, how's Michigan? Are you loving it? And then some people think we live in Kansas City because I was at the House of Prayer for a bit. So everyone's, you know, they're always like, oh, you know, how is it where you live? And so finally I was just like, man, let's clear this thing up. Like we're in Nashville. It's awesome. It's all good.
Gotcha. So you were a worship pastor in Kalamazoo. Now are you a worship pastor still, or just kind of focusing on your music?
No. Yeah. Just for the first time in my life, well, adult life, let's say, I am not on staff at a church or ministry, which is crazy. Like it just feels completely different. So yeah, I've been super focused on music. I've been writing a ton, pretty much like probably 3-4 times a week. And it's really fun. You know, I kind of asked myself, like, if I didn't have to be on staff at a church, meaning to like make my life work financially, would I? And both my wife and I were like in this season, it feels like we need to focus on the music stuff, on writing, and on our kids. So we've just, here we are.
That's awesome. So I feel like everybody knows you as Reckless Love, your music. Who's Corey when you step aside from that? Like, what's your everyday
life? Yeah. I mean,
family.
Sure. I mean, family is a huge part of it. You know, we've got 4 kids, as maybe you saw in those photos, like they're super cute. Yeah, family is massive. We spend a lot of time together. You know, I think I want to be really intentional with how they grow up. You know, I want to be around as much as possible and not be that dad who's like on the road 250 dates a year, never sees them, you know, that kind of thing. So we're together a lot. We bought a little spot out here in Nashville, and we've got a little over 7 acres. So we're outside all the time. My son and I on dirt bikes, and the girls, you know, Lily, she's 7. We've got, you know what a Ranger is, like a Polaris Ranger. It's kind of like, yeah, it's like a big 4-wheeler, basically. She just learned how to drive it by herself. So, you know, we're out here planting trees and just kind of enjoying the land, you know, playing games, playing sports outside. But, you know, I try not to take myself too seriously. You know, a lot of people look at me and they're like, oh, he's the Reckless Love guy. Like, he must be, you know, A, B, and C, like super holy and serious all the time and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he must spend all of his time in church or something. And I'm like, man, I'm the most normal dude you've ever met. Like, just down to earth, try to stay humble, try to stay normal. You know, there's nothing special just because I wrote a cool song and, you know, I get to do music doesn't mean I'm anything different than anyone else. You know, we're all just trying to live our lives and love God as well as possible and love our families as well as possible. So just try not to take myself too seriously. Have fun.
Yeah. So for you, like when you're not writing, you're not on the road, and you're spending time with family, I mean, do you have any hobbies, like the favorite, like something that you really love to do when you're not writing?
Yeah, sports.
Sports.
Any sports I can get into. You know, I grew up playing baseball and football, and I play a lot of basketball, actually, you know, because basketball is easy to kind of get a pickup game. You know, you need like 10 guys as opposed to what, you know, 15 or so for a football game.
Yeah.
So honestly, yeah, I just try to get out and play sports, and you know, it clears your mind. I don't know if you play at all, but it's just something different than my normal rhythm, you know, writing and music. And I think sometimes we get stuck in a certain train of thought. And for me, playing sports and having fun with the guys is like, it's kind of it's a release, I guess, of just kind of mental energy. You go in there, you just go hard, sweat hard, and then I always feel like way better afterwards.
That's awesome. So I know you took a big break from social media for a while. What did you gain from that? Well, first of all, why did you do that? And then what did you gain from it?
Yeah. Definitely took some time off. And I think I've got to be really intentional with that, because I get going so hard. And for me, I really care about the engagement with quote unquote fans. Like, I still hate that word. I think it's a weird idea, especially in Christmas or Christmas music, Christian music, you know, that we have fans. It's just kind of a weird thing. But I really want to be intentional with engaging with people, you know, when I'm in. Mm-hmm. So I'll go hard. I'll be talking to people, you know, I'm trying to actually engage on Instagram and Facebook, that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, I often think of Jesus, who, and this is going to sound really weird now that I say that, I often think of Jesus related to my own life. You know, I think of Jesus the way he would pour out, right? He would just be healing people and hanging with, you know, the people in the different cities and kind of doing what he did, right? And then the Bible says he would find these lonely places or these away places, right? And he would go and he would get alone with the Father. And that's the way he would fill up, right? I think that rhythm for me of kind of going really hard and then sort of backing out has always been my way of finding that lonely place with God where it's just me and him. And I'm going to get filled up again and get new ideas and new songs and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know that that'll always be the rhythm for me, because maybe there's a healthier way to do it. And I've had a lot of people say to me, like, you got to stop just like peacing out, bro. Like, it's weird kind of thing. It's worked for me in the past, yeah. But I'm kind of like, okay, Father, is there a better rhythm? Like, is there a better way to go about this? But it's been healing for me in a lot of ways to just get alone, read the Bible, hear from the Holy Spirit, and come back with, you know, kind of re-impassioned heart, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Is there like a certain time you set aside every day for that, or a certain place that you go to get alone with God?
Yeah, I think in the seasons, you know, where you were talking about like going away completely, I'm probably not quite as intentional in that time as I would be if I found that healthier rhythm that I'm talking about, you know? But yeah, to me, it's like in everyday life, I'm trying to connect with God and go, where are you right now when I'm in Target? You know, you know, what are you thinking right now as I'm getting gas and I'm connecting with the clerk or whatever, buying a piece of gum, you know, like I'm trying to be intentional in those in between moments where, you know, I'm not in church, I'm not doing a show or a concert or an event, but it's just normal life. I'm trying to go like, Holy Spirit, how can I still partner with you in the middle of, you know, the mundaneness, if you will, or the normalcy mm-hmm. of life? But yeah, I'm definitely trying to read the Bible each night and, you know, read a chapter a day, that kind of thing. But in those in-between moments, that's where I'm like, okay, I got to get better at not just like zoning God out yeah. when I'm driving down the road because I don't think he wants to be involved in this, you know, because he does.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I love that. Now thinking about you being on the road, is there a favorite part of the night that you have when you're on tour? Like this is the moment I'm looking forward to when I am performing or something.
Yeah. That's a tough question. I really do love all of it. I think for me, the most special part is maybe right at the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, walking out and feeling the energy of the room. And I don't want to sound like, you know, new agey or weird or whatever, but each different venue that you go to, each different group of people brings a different energy, or what, you know, people right now are calling vibe, right? Like, oh yeah, there's a certain vibe in that place. Everyone likes that word. I think what they're referring to is sort of this, and it's probably more scientific than we realize, there's an energy that is in the place. And that has to do with expectancy, that has to do with position of heart from the people who are coming. And to walk in and feel what that feels like every night, like to feel the different energies and then kind of go, okay, Lord, what do you want to do with this?
Yeah.
Like I can feel what it feels like, and I can kind of get a sense of what it's going to look like tonight, but how do you want to operate, you know, within what I'm feeling? It's just a fun, I don't know. It's just an exciting time when you walk out and you're like, ah, okay, this is how the night's going to go.
Cool. That's awesome. Is there a favorite song that you look forward to singing? Like, do you have like, this is the song I love singing over and over?
Yeah. I mean, the obvious one is Reckless Love. You know, I really do genuinely enjoy that every single time because I know what it means to people. So when I look out across the room and I see people getting, you know, touched or ministered to or whatever, that's really cool. There's a new one that's called Pioneer that I haven't released or anything like that. But it's really special to me. And I kind of share some of the story behind it and where it came from and stuff. And to see that one connect with people and inspire people to, you know, maybe to lay down complacency or laziness and really go after God in a new way is like really, really sweet every night.
Cool. So we're playing Egypt. Can you tell me about where you were kind of when you wrote it? Because some people might know the story of crossing the Red Sea. Some people might not, but kind of where you were writing the song.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously, like you said, the story is out of the book of Exodus, you know, where God brought the Israelites through the Red Sea into the promised land, well, into the wilderness and then the promised land. But for me, it was, I think we were experiencing a lot of what I would call like the religious spirit, which a lot of people were like, that's probably good, right? We like religion. To me, what it is it's a spirit of like control and manipulation almost, where we use religion, leaders use religion to kind of force people to do certain things. And we saw that, you know, we see that in scripture as well. You know, like when Jesus come and flips the tables in the temple, he was doing that because the money changers were forcing people to jump through their little religious and political hoops to give worship to God. And that's what I think really upset Jesus. He was like, no, this is not cool. So I think we were experiencing some of that where it was like, we feel controlled and manipulated. And, you know, there was just kind of this prevailing spirit that we were feeling, even, you know, kind of in different places that we were going to. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Lord reminded me of that story. And in that story, when God frees the Israelites, he wasn't like, okay, go be free, like go have fun, whatever. The purpose he kept saying is, I'm freeing you so you can worship, so you can worship, so you can worship. And freedom in worship, excuse me, is a really, really, I think, big and important thing on God's heart. A lot of times we, you know, we just get locked up and we think, you know, I gotta do certain things in worship, or I gotta look a certain way, or, you know, we kind of bow to culture instead of, you know, actually worshiping from the heart. So I don't know. There's so much that goes into that song. Like, it's a massive, huge kind of philosophical heart thing that was going on in us, but it was all about finding freedom to worship, knowing that God fights for us and he wants us close. You know, there's an intimacy there too. That's really kind of special and important. So it would take me hours to tell you, you know, all of what was happening, but hopefully that gives just a little snapshot.
Yeah. When you're singing it, do you ever like think about maybe like kind of an Egypt that you've been through?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think that's, again, part of that sort of, I keep using the word religious, and I don't want people to think, you know, I'm dogging on church, but there is sort of this culture that tells us worship should look a certain way, or, you know, you can only use certain words and say certain things, like, you know, that's the way it should be done. And I'm like, man, what if there was more to worship? And what if we found true freedom in worship to dance and sing the way that we want to? I don't know if you've ever felt this, or if any of the listeners have ever felt this, but sometimes in church, I'm like, I don't want to sing too loud. Like, you know, I don't want to offend someone. And then I think of, you know, Mary, who anointed Jesus' feet with oil and did not care about what anyone thought in that moment. And to me, I'm like, that's the Egypt that I want to break through from, you know, and I want to break into that place of the promised land where I can worship freely, because that's what it's all about. I don't want to get locked up in what, you know, church culture or a leader says I can do. I want to give my whole heart like Mary did and not worry about the consequences, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'm excited for those who get to see you out on the road, especially in this year, and that you're all moved and settled in for the past 4 months. But thank you so much for your songs and for your heart behind them.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I hope you have a warmer rest of your day.
Yeah. Praise God. Right. You too. Aren't you in Chicago?
Yes. Yep.
Dude. Yeah. That's some serious stuff there.
A little chilly.
Yep. All right. Thank you
so much. Bye. Peace.
Thanks for listening to A Closer Look. For more content like this, subscribe to the Shine.fm podcast channel from Olivet Nazarene University.